You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. If you haven't done so yet, we want to encourage you to check out Plus Membership on NewChurches.com for office hours, where you can submit any of your questions, get a personal answer to them, ready-to-use resources, behind-the-scenes content, and a lot more. So, check it out at NewChurches.com. Well, today's question, I'm joined here together with Todd. today's question is going to be on video teaching and urban ministry. So let's listen to it.
What's up, guys? My name is Danny, and I'm from Brooklyn, planting a church in Brooklyn in New York City. You know, obviously, there are many different models of church planting and multi-site, etc. My question is in regards to the use of video teaching. Now, I'm a big fan, but I don't see it used that often in urban communities such as mine. The question, or several questions rather, is does it work within that context, the context of density and diversity, in your opinion? Maybe what are some best practices to make sure that it's done well? And do you know any churches that are in urban communities that are doing video teaching well? Thank you, guys. Appreciate all you do.
Right on. Well, that's a great question, Danny. Why don't we start with video teaching, the idea of best practices. So what are some best practices, Todd, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, I would say video venues in an urban setting do work, simply because I was a part of one of those in D.C., D.C. is not Brooklyn. I get that. but it is, I don't know, north. And it is urban for sure. And there's a great deal of diversity there. Yeah. I mean, one of the crazy things is people would say, we want to come look at your church to see how it's so diverse. And I'm like, hey, there is no majority anymore in my cul-de-sac. There's, you know. Like, there's no clear majority in my neighborhood. Yeah. Like, if we're reaching our community, we're going to be diverse. Mm. So that's all beside the point. I'm just saying that in a diverse urban setting, video venue can work.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Batterson, a National Community Church.
Yes, absolutely. Also DC. Too.
Yep.
And also in multiple types of neighborhoods and multiple venues, different densities, and the same thing. I mean, between the two, especially, you've got really urban downtown, you've got suburban, and you've got even rural, and it all seemed to work. It's just picking one thing and going with it and doing it as excellently as possible.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, how about we hit some best practices for video teaching then?
So best practices for video teaching is you don't want to do anything to remind them that they're watching a video.
Yeah.
So avoid cutting away every 15 seconds for a different camera angle or view. You know, the best at it, in my opinion, are those that go ahead and even construct a venue, or if they're not in their own space, or when they lease a venue, they're doing it in such a way that it kind of everything ties together. So there's some people that will go even as far as putting in the same set pieces. So if you've got a sermon series that you're doing and you have any prop or set piece, or if the pastor uses some, you know, particular chair or things like that, it's to keep in mind, hey, we need to replicate that experience as much as possible. We need to drop the screen as low as we possibly can. If you can drop it to the flow, do it.
And then do a full body shot.
Absolutely.
So it looks like they're standing there.
And your pastor will usually love that because they look like 8 feet tall.
And then also to have an IMAG, you know, on both sides where it's more the close-up.
So you throw your close-ups on the side on the IMAG, or and you know your straight shot is center stage. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we did have venues where we couldn't do that, and it was, you know, we had to show it on scrim, and it was 15 feet above the audience and the congregation. And so That's the other thing, too, is, you know, I made the mistake there of saying audience and not congregation. It's not an audience. It's a congregation.
Yeah. I mean, even at my when we were in a movie, you know, in a movie theater, you wouldn't have the, you know, you wouldn't have the ability to have multiple screens there either. Right. So, I mean, even in that situation, you could choose to go, you know, the IMAG type of shot, you know, waist up. But I mean, with the movie screen size, actual full stage shot might not be that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then, you know, it actually mimics them being there.
Totally. They're used to it. If they were in the main, if they were in a different location, it would be the same in any location, whether or not they're at the originating site or somewhere else.
Yeah.
And again, if you'll notice, words build worlds.
Yes.
Okay. This is not the subject of this podcast, but words build worlds. So when I just said Maine and I stumbled because I was about to say Maine campus, that's a no-no. That's also a no-no for whoever it is preaching. You don't want to remind them that they are not there live and in person. So the big thing there is, you know, for us as well, we had different broadcasts throughout the week or different services throughout the week. So if you said Sunday morning – well, not everybody's watching it on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Or if you, you know, said something about the wonderful song that was just sang by her and the worship pastor at your location is a dude, you've just done one more thing to remind them that they're not, you're not in the same place and that it's disconnected. When in reality, it still can be very connected. So yeah. I would say that those, even the course of this conversation, I'm pointing out some of the best practices. Another thing I would say that we did over the course of time is figured out, hey, if we're going to be, you know, this whole concept that I think every other church has of one church, multiple locations, mm-hmm. Then we need to do that. We need to show our vision and values and the stories from those other campuses to all the other campuses. So we would have a spot each week that was a story of how something, some ministry in our church connected with one of our values, and it was a different campus each week.
Yeah,
and everybody got that. So it didn't matter what campus you were at, you were seeing and connecting with some of those stories, and it was an overall McLean story. It wasn't about one campus.
And were those stories told via video or live?
Via video, I'm sorry.
Okay,
gotcha. Via video, because that's, again, the best way it's consumed.
Yeah, and shareable as well.
Yeah. Now, we once or twice did a broadcast back, but logistically, you know, it's just a bad stewardship decision, in my opinion, to spend that much money when you have all the sunk costs of resources of broadcasting from, you know, one particular location to go and broadcast from another location.
Yeah.
It kind of defeats some of the scalability and purpose of it. Now, we had a Saturday night service, so we could just show the Saturday night service to that localized audience and then or to all the audiences. And then he could go to any campus he wanted and do it live.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that also comes down to the point. I mean, we're all familiar with the language. Do you want to be a church of small groups or a church with small groups, right? So in the same way, are you going to be a church with sites or a church of, you know, multiple locations? And part of that is making sure that even the broadcast location understands or experiences once in a while a video message. Right. And I'm not saying that you would broadcast that from a different location, but, you know, maybe Saturday night is when you do the broadcast at your broadcast location. Have the two other services on Sunday be video once in a while and have the main teaching pastor or the lead pastor be there at one of the other campuses and maybe even preach live there. And by that way, you're able to just have greater impact, help the other campuses know that they're not inferior because they're always getting the video. Back to your earlier comment, Todd, that words build worlds, right? So if we were to list off a list of important things to take note of when, you know, especially during your message, I mean, obviously we don't want to date stamp it. In some situations, churches are going to film a week ahead, record the message a week ahead. If you're live streaming it, obviously you don't need to, but if it's recorded, there are some situations where recording a week ahead is beneficial. But if you do that, you do have to be aware of not talking about current events, not saying language like Saturday or tonight or tomorrow, just say today, right? That would be a good generic way to refer to that.
Didn't we do a full podcast on the topic of best practices for video?
Well, we have talked about it here and there. I think what you're referring to is actually an office hours question that you answered. Every week.
I'm like, I've answered this question before.
Yeah, so every week, actually anytime, 24/7, Plus members are able to submit any question that they want to office hours, and we answer those questions every Thursday. Todd, you did answer that in one of the previous episodes.
I do remember it was... There was a lot of almost like a top 10 do's and don'ts and, you know, remembers, things that you can do to help your senior pastor is go ahead and set your if streaming is new to them and all the camera stuff is new to them, put cameras in places that they naturally look anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And help them by doing that. Being sure that you have things like tally lights on your cameras so that, you know, he can see where the tally light is and look at that camera. The other thing is if you don't want to overproduce something like that, you just need a good guy in the back that's a good switcher. Who is going to be looking at the shots and as they're coming in and be able to put those shots up, you know, on the IMAGs and different things like that. I mean, the great news is this. If you go for – you can do this as stripped down as you want. I mean, you could do a one-camera shoot if you want.
Yeah.
Or you could do a three-camera shoot and just have them static. Because the idea is that there's one main camera with really high quality glass. Don't skimp on the glass. Don't skip on the lenses. I also shoot guns a lot, so
we don't need to go down that road.
We don't, but a lot of people buy a really nice rifle and then skimp out on the glass.
Okay, yeah.
So holds true in cameras. You may spend as much on your lenses or more on your lenses than you do on the camera themselves. The great news is you can buy a package deal fairly cheaply. Like the barriers to entry are fewer than they ever have been before. So if it's something that you're thinking about doing or getting into, you can do that in fairly short order.
Yeah.
With not a ton of resources. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And the other thing, I mean, the other part of the question was the idea of urban ministry and video teaching. And I think in any context, whether it's urban, suburban, or rural, anytime you divorce the teaching with relationship, that's when there's not going to be a lot of effectiveness in the church, in leadership. So if a campus, not the broadcasting campus, but if another campus, all they get is video and there's not much personal, there's not a campus pastor, there's not personal shepherding going on, there's not a lot of that, then obviously it's not going to work because it's like, well, why am I even here? Why don't I just watch this online? Or why don't I just, you know, turn to church on TV? So the important thing that we need to understand, especially in urban communities, Danny, I'm sure you understand this in Brooklyn, but relationship matters, right? You need to be able to build those relationships, build the trust. And part of that is for the teacher, whoever's on the screen teaching, for them to be able to also visit the other campuses, for the campus pastor even to be able to go up and preach once in a while as well, so it's contextual to that campus. So don't forget about the importance of relationships because, I mean, no one likes the idea of a high-tech, low-touch type of congregation, right? We all want that high-tech, high-touch, and that's something that multi-site churches can do very well. Well, thanks again for listening in. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't already done so, we'd appreciate it if you could log on to iTunes and leave a rating and review for us. This helps others discover the podcast and benefit from it as much as we hope you are. So thanks again for listening in.